Okay, today's daf is daf kaf. We're going to start at Yud Tet Amabet in the middle, right in the center of the page, where it's or a little toward the bottom, where it says Tanya Idach at the end of a line. Amocher Bito Pasak. Okay, Refuah Shleima L'Dvor Batino, Zavram Shema Menchana Carmela Banim, Orli Pnei Bat Rachel Frida Chai, Malka Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Bimim Chai Ruth, Yosef Bim Rachel, Leah Bat Rivka, Rafael Yishof Alek Bim Bracha Batya, Yalmir Bat Chaya, Rina Chai Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Bim Rosa, Talia Rachel Bat Tamar Sarah, Alexander Ziskin Bim Menucha, Liloy Nishma Chana Bat Atara, Reza Bat Sarah Tzvi Hirsh, and Yaakov Halevi Umela. Okay, we're starting with a braita here. Tanya Idach, another braita. Hamocher et bito upasak amanat shelo liyaed. Let's say you make a condition. I'm selling my daughter on the condition that you don't marry her. Now, we keep saying that there has to be potential to marry. But despite that, according to Rabbi Meir, nitkayem hatnai divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to sell your daughter into slavery and stipulate that he doesn't have to, that he can't marry her. Okay, we'll see why soon. The Chachamim omrim, im ratza liyaed miyaed, even if they made this tnai, he's still allowed to marry her if he wants. Basically, we can ignore the condition. Why? Very simply, mipnei sheitnei masha katu b'torah. Because he made a tanai against something it says in the Torah. In the Torah, the whole idea was, you sell your maidservant in order for her to, you know, as for the potential for her to marry. And it goes along with what we said before, that if he can't potentially marry her, which we're going to also deal with now, like if it's an Easter arayo, then you can't. Okay, but we're going to see there's a machloket about that. Anyone who makes a tanai against something that says in the Torah, his condition is not relevant. So now we're going to ask, will the Rabbi Meir tanao kayam? Rabbi Meir thinks that if you're matnei against something that says in the Torah, your tanai is good. Now we're going to show. Rabbi Meir somewhere else holds, it's not the case. V'hatanya, don't we have a braita that says, Ha'omer li isha harat mekudeshet li, amanat she'en li alayach she'er ksut ve'ona. Here he says it explicitly. I'm going to marry you under the condition that I don't fulfill the three things I have to promise that that a husband has to provide for his wife, which we learned after from the Amah Psukim. And if he takes another wife, he still has to give her the share of the ksutin leona. So Hareze Mekudeshet, she's married. It is a good marriage, and he obviously has to provide her with the share in ksutin leona. That's what he says. Tna'o batel. It's irrelevant. So therefore, okay, we're already done with our question, but we're going to continue on in this braita despite that. Our question is, Rabbi Meir here says, you made a tanai against Mashkatu B'Torah, the tanai is batel, and in our case, he said, the tanai is still kayam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'davar Shebemamon tanao kayam. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees about the share and the, the share and the ksut he disagrees with. When it comes to the ono, which is sexual relations, so she can't be mochel that, and he has to provide her with that. But when it comes to money, even though the money, the Torah says he has to provide her with a place to live and food, she's allowed to say, I don't need that. She could be mochel on any kind of money obligation. So therefore, he disagrees with the Rabbi Meir when it comes to the money obligations. He says, the share and the ksut, I disagree with you. When it comes to the ona, I agree with you. Okay? We've seen this before. That mamon, you can be mochel, but other things you can't necessarily be mochel.
She made more money than he gave her.
Right, let's say she makes more money and she'd rather have her money right. And keep her masay. That we saw that. Right. She says, I want to work and keep my proceeds and not take from you. Okay, so now we're still left with our question about Rabbi Meir. Why does he distinguish in the two cases? So Amar Chizkia, Shanehacha. Our case is different. Our case is not a case of matnel mashkatu b'torah. Why? To amar kra le'ama. The pasuk specifically says kiim kor isha bito le'ama. He could have just it could have said kiim kor isha bito. Why did it have to say to be a maid servant? What does it teach you? Can you see where they're going? Pamim she'enu machra ela la'ama bilvad. The Torah doesn't say it has to be that she has to get married to him. It could be that he's just selling her to be a maidservant. So there's two maslulim, you could say, right? Two paths. Either he sells her just to be a maidservant, and therefore he's allowed to sell her and stipulate, I don't want you to marry her, under the condition that you don't marry her, because that's one option. And another option is he sells her as a maidservant with the potential that she could get married. And even within that, we saw two options. He could decide to marry her, he could decide not to marry her. So, Rabbanan, okay, so now we've said that's what he darshins from Le'ama. Right? So now, go back to our machloket. Rabbi Meir Darshan's Le'ama comes to say it's only a potential, right? He doesn't have to. But Chachamim obviously say he has to marry her, right? There has to be at least, right, from the father's perspective, when he sells her, there has to be potential that he can marry her. So what do they get a Darshan with the word Le'ama? What do Chachamim do with Le'ama? So what do they do? Rabbanan, hi la'ama, my avdele. What do they do with that word? Hi mibayle, because the assumption is it's unnecessary. Mibayle, they need it for this brayta. L'chidetanya, the brayta says, la'ama, milamed shemachra lepsulim. What does la'ama teach? That it includes an additional case that you can sell her even to psulim. Remember what psulim are. Psulim are isurei arayot that are chiyuvei lavim. Meaning that if you marry her, it's a usher to do. However, the marriage would be a good marriage. So therefore, it comes to include that case. So then they say, but you don't need a pasuk to teach you that, a drasha. B'halo dinhu. It's a kavachomer. Why? What's the kavachomer? Imikadsha lepsulim. If there's kiddushin or tofsim by psulim, right? Regular marriage, forget about to an amah. But if a regular person can marry someone who's isur lav to him, lo yim kirenu lepsulim, so then obviously you should be allowed to sell it. So you wouldn't need a special pasuk to teach you this. It's obvious. So they say, no, no, no. You still need a special pasuk because there's going to be a certain chumrah in the mikadsha lepsulim that doesn't exist by the limkor lepsulim, right? To sell her into slavery. And therefore, you wouldn't necessarily have learned the Kav HaChomer. Mala mekadsha lepsulim, shekein adam mekadesh bito kashehi na'ara. Yimkirenu lepsulim, shein adam mocher bito kashehi na'ara. Kiddushin has one extra thing that selling doesn't have. And what's that? That the father can marry off the daughter even when she's a na'ara. Remember that six-month stage between na'aru to bagrut? So, in the case of mikadsha, marriage, the father has more time to do it, even when she's a na'ara. So therefore, you might think it's more inclusive. So therefore, kiddushin might include psulin. You might say kiddushin tofsin. But you can't necessarily learn from here to the ama case. Now again, these two things aren't necessarily connected. But since the ama case is a more limited case, why is it more limited? Because it's only until the age of na'ara, but not when she's a na'ara. Therefore, you might not have necessarily assumed that you could also sell it to psulim. And therefore, Talmud lomar la'ama melamed shemachra lepsulim. Okay, that's why you need the pasuk. Yeah, okay, right? It's a bit of a stretch, but they're saying that's why you need a special pasuk. So now. Now they're going to continue. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, im lelamed shemachra lepsulim, hare kvar ne'emar, im ra'a b'ine adoneha, shera'a b'nisueha. Okay, now he's going to say, we have a different place where we learn machra lepsulim. The whole question was, Rabbi Meir learns le'ama, comes to say that it's just a potential that you could marry her, but you could also sell her just to be a slave. That was Rabbi Meir. We said, had a chachamim darshan le'ama, Chachamim come and say, we're going to learn Shemachra Lepsulim. Comes Rabbi Eliezer and he says, but wait, Lemachra Lepsulim, we learn from a different pasuk. What pasuk? Remember, the continuation says, Im ra'a be'enei adoneha asher lo ya'ada. Right? In other words, if he doesn't want to marry the person he's supposed to marry, the adon, doesn't want to marry the maidservant or marry her off to the son. Okay, so now, what does it mean, ra'a be'enei adoneha? So what do they learn from here? Shera'a b'nisueha, that there's a problem, a technical problem with him to marry her. In other words, it's an isur lav. Okay, that's what they darshan, ra'a b'nei adoneha. So therefore, what are we stuck with now? Well, we don't need la'ama to teach shemachra l'psulim because we already learned that from im ra'a b'nei adoneha. That teaches us psulim, machra l'psulim. So therefore, what are we going to do with this word la'ama, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that we darshan it from somewhere else? So ma tamud lomar la'ama, milamed shemachra likrovim. Now we're going to have, like I said before, until now we've said, or maybe we also brought up this opinion, I don't remember, but until now the main opinion has been that if ein kiddushin tofsin, then you can't sell her to be a slave to this person. Okay, let's say to your son. Okay, you can't sell her as a slave to his sister, right? His sister to the brother as a slave. Why? Because it's Isur HaRayot. They can't ever potentially marry. Comes Rabbi Eliezer and he says, no, no, no. you can sell her to be a slave to Krovim, okay? Even though there's no Kiddushin Tofsin. So now they say, V'halodinhu. This should be a Kavachomer. You don't even need a limud from a pasuk from this. What's the Kavachomer? Im mochra lipsulim, loyim kirenu lekrovim. Okay, now there's a weird, little bit of a weird Kavachomer, but they're going to say, if you can sell her to psulim, so you should also be able to sell her to krovim. Mala mochra, so now they say, no. Obviously, and this is how we're going to knock it down, right? You'd think, why is there even a cup of chomer? They're going to say no. Because malam achra lipsulim, this is what we learned already. Shem ratzali ya'ed mi'ya'ed, right? If, and it's the first, I think the first assumption here is, psul, you know, in none of these cases can you really marry her. Yes, it's, you know, you can technically, but you're not allowed to. So if you can't do one and yet we allow it, then it should mean that it doesn't really matter. But then they say, no, of course there's a difference. Because malach machra lipsulim, that if he wanted to marry her, Miyaed, right? He could, again, technically speaking, Kiddusha would be Tofsim. There would be an actual marriage there. Yim Karana, Likrovim, Shim Ratzali, Ein, and No Miyaed. But then you think you can marry her to a Karov who ain't Kiddusha Tofsim? The marriage would be totally irrelevant, right? It wouldn't even be considered marriage, even if you did a whole act of Kiddushin. So therefore, Amar Krala Amma, that was all to say, right? Why isn't this a Kavachomer? You don't even need a Pasuk from Le'ama to teach it. That's where he wanted to learn it. I remember, Le'ama, we said, according to Rabbi Meir, says that it's only a possibility, but you could actually sell her just to be a slave. Chachamim said, no, it comes to include that you could be mochra l'psulim. Comes Rabbi Lezer, and he said, since we learned that halacha about the psulim from a different pasuk, what are we going to learn from this pasuk? That mochra l'krovim. And then they said, but wait, isn't it a kavachomer? They say, no, it's not a kavachomer. And therefore, amakra la'ama, v'lamech makra l'krovim. So we have three potential things that you could learn from the word la'ama. There's three directions you can go in it, depending on what you hold, right? What your opinion is, that's going to affect how you darshan that pasuk. Okay, so now we're going to go back to Rabbi Meir. For Rabbi Meir, lipsulin nafka lamehecha. Where is Rabbi Meir going to learn? If Rabbi Meir learns the Lama comes to say that he can sell her just to be a slave, where is he going to learn that you're allowed to be mochra l'psulim? So that's very easy. What are we going to say? Dinav kalei l'Rabbi Elazar b'krovim. In other words, what's he going to say? The same way, what did Rabbi Elazar say? We learn it from Imra'a ben Adoneha. That comes to include psulim. So that's where Rabbi Meir is going to learn psulim. He's going to learn it from the other pasuk, Imra'a ben Adoneha. Now, what's he going to do about krovim? What do you think? Bikrovim, several akarabanan. Da'amra, emochra the krovim. Right? He's now left with no pasuk. Remember, Rabbi Elazar said, if you learn from Imra'a ben Adoneha, then la'ama is open to darshan the krovim. But Rabbi Meir doesn't have that pasuk available. So we say, very simply, he doesn't darshan that. He holds, like Chachamim, that it's only lipsulim, you can marry her, you can sell her to slavery, but you can't sell her to slavery to psulim. To krovim, thank you. To, right, isurei arayot, isur karet. Okay. De'amre emochra l'krovim. Okay. Tanichad. Now we're moving on to another thing. Mochra la'aviv, it's connected, but mochra la'aviv ve'em mochra la'bino. You can sell her to your father, but you can't sell her to your son. V'tanya idach, don't worry, we're going to explain this soon. Right? Obviously, both are isurei arayot, right? V'tanya idach, ein mochra lo la'aviv v'lo la'bino. The other braita says you can't sell her to either one. So now they're going to say, bishlama, we understand, ein mochra lo la'aviv v'lo la'bino. Kirabana, right? We understand you can't sell her to the father, can't sell her to the brother, they're both to the son, her brother. They're both Isurei Arayot, and therefore we hold like Rabbanan, and you can't do it. That braita holds like Rabbanan. Ela mochra la'aviv, ein mochra la'bino kiman, lo kirabanan ve lo kirabi Eliezer, right? It's like a half and half. One Isurei Arayot you can, and one Isurei Arayot you can't. Nobody says that. They either say you can across the board, or you can't across the board. So what do they say? No, la'olam kirabanan. It is like Rabbanan who say that you can't sell her to Krovim, but Modu Rabbanan hecha de'ikat sad ye'ud. If you sell her to the father, your father, okay, the Adon sells his daughter to his father. Now, yes, it's true that her grandfather is Isur Arayo to her. However, you're allowed to marry your uncle. So therefore, the grandfather, potentially there's a tzad yeud. He could marry her off to his son. And his son is not an Yisrael Rayot. A woman can marry her uncle. Okay, a man can't marry his aunt. And that's why it doesn't go in other directions. But in this case, if you sell it to the grandfather, it's okay because he can marry her off to one of his other sons. So there is potential. Well, you'd have to go through each Isur Arayot and figure out if there's a Tzad Ye'ud. Not every Isur Arayot has a Tzad Ye'ud. It depends on who they are and what the... Like the son, for example, doesn't have a Tzad Ye'ud. Okay? The son can't marry... You know, it's her brother. His children would be... Let's say he has a son. That would be a son marrying an aunt. And that's not allowed. Now, it's an uncle can marry a niece, but a son... The nephew can't marry the aunt.
And great-nephew?
Also not. No, that's already shniot, right? That's all. Okay. Right. The question is, can you do shintovsim and shniot? I don't remember. But no, but I think generally we say it's just one generation in terms of the yehud, I think.
Tzad-yud.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to get to a famous pasuk, which I think you probably only know one interpretation of this pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, im begapo yavo begapo yetze. How do we translate this generally? Remember this? Okay, we'll see. Bigufo nichnas, bigufo yetze. Rabbi Lezer, okay, we don't know yet what this means. Okay, he goes in with his goof and he goes out with his goof. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, yechidi nichnas, yechidi yetze. That's the one we generally know. We'll see in a minute what that is. So first we're going to explain the first one, which is less known. My bigufo nichnas, bigufo yetze. I'm a rabbi, right? This is, you know where this pasuk is? Okay, look at it inside. It's in Shmok Kaf Aleph. I'm sure, I don't remember exactly, I didn't look, but I'm sure that Rashi quotes that one opinion, and that's why everybody knows it. What? The Eved Ivri. So we're going back to the Eved Ivri. Ki tikne Eved Ivri sheish shanim yavod, washvi yetzeh l'choshi chinam. This is Shmo Parakafal Pasuk Bet. Im begapo yavo, begapo yetzeh. Im ba'al ishahu v'yatza ishto imo. Okay, which generally we understand, now do you remember the context? If he came in without a wife, he goes out without a wife, right? And if he was married, then he goes out with his wife he had from before. Meaning also that he doesn't take a shifcha along with him, right? If he married a shifcha while he was there, okay? But now we're going to see an interesting drasha, two interesting drashot on it. So there's two interpretations. Either it's, because nobody knows what this word gapo is, right? What's gapo? It's not a common word. So it's either bigufo or it's bigapo yichidi, okay? Alone. So now they're going to say, my begufo nechnas begufo yetze. If you say gapo means goof, I'm a rabbi, lomed she'eno yotze beroshe evarim ke'eved. If you, remember if you knock out the tooth of an eved, he goes free? That was an eved knani. But if you knock out a tooth of an eved ivri, he doesn't go free. What do you have to do? You have to pay him damages. And he doesn't leave. Now what's this all about? Why is there a difference between eved knani and eved ivri? Because this is a little disturbing halachot, but there's a concept that you're allowed to hit your Eved Knani, and therefore we're concerned that you're going to hit him too much. So we want to control exactly how much you hit him. So we want to warn you that if you hit him too hard and you break a bone or knock out a tooth, well, then he's going to go free. So we want to prevent you from overuse of force. Whereas in Eved Ivri, you're not allowed to hit, and therefore there's less of a concern in this. So therefore we just say he's like a regular Jew. You pay him damages. Amar le Abaye, we don't learn that from this pasuk. Kahu milote tse ketse tavadim nafka. Now that's a pasuk by, do you remember? That's the first pasuk of the Amah Ivriyan Shmot. Okay? Pasuk Zayin, kim kor isha pitola amah lo tse ketse tavadim. But since we have, remember we saw that pasuk in, it was in, I think it's in Dvarim, where if it's Eved Ivri, oh Amah Ivriyah, so whatever's true for her is going to be true for him. So lo tse ketse tavadim applies also to Eved Ivri. What does it mean? That he doesn't go out the way an Eved goes out if you knock out a bone. That's what they darshan him from there. So he says, we don't learn it from here, we learn it from a different pasuk. So then they say, ime hatam, no, if you just learned it from lo tse ketse tavadim, you might have misunderstood the halacha. What might you have thought? Hava amina leitev le deme ene vinipuk, kama shmalan. You might have thought that he gets treated so much better than what happens. We pay him damages and he goes free. Lo tse ketse tavadim means he doesn't go out like they do, meaning they get out, right, just by getting hit. But they don't. We don't pay them damages. Whereas the Eved Ivri, since he's a Jew, well, you have to pay him damages, but he also goes free. So therefore, kamashmalan, we need this other pasuk, bigapoye, right, begufo nechnas begufo yetzei, meaning he'll go out as he was before, meaning if you knock out some bone or something, you'll pay him damages, but he gets free the same way he should get free, not like an eved knani. He doesn't go free, okay, from hitting him. So now, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, we have to understand now. Yechidi nechnas yechidi etzei. Ma yechidi etzei. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak kachi kamar. Yesh lo ishao banim, rabo moser lo shivcha knanit. Ein lo ishao banim, ein rabo moser lo shivcha knanit. We talked about this before, that only if he has a wife and children does he get a shivcha. Okay, not the way I said that we kind of usually understand this pasuk of Yechidi Nechnas Yechidi Yetzei, meaning he leaves without any shivcha he had on the way, right? He comes in one way, he leaves the same way. No, it means if he went in as a Yechid, meaning without a family, then, right, as opposed to the second part of the pasuk, which says if he has a wife, if he had a wife, he comes out with his wife, then he doesn't get a shivcha knani. Now, what's the logic for this halacha? Why do you only get a shivcha knani if you're already married, right? You think maybe the logic would state the opposite. So the issue is that we really want to discourage avadim from staying long term. And we're worried, and it's, what do we think? If he has a wife already, well, then we know he's going to want to go back to his wife. If he doesn't, so therefore we can give him a shivcha. We don't think the shivcha is going to keep him, you know, I mean, the whole concept of why we give him a shivcha is a whole separate issue. But let's put it aside for right now, if you can. But basically, we want to look at purely how we're going to discourage him from wanting to stay. So if he was single when he came in and now he has this nice shivcha wife and he wants to stay with her, well, we don't want that to happen. So therefore, we're not going to give him a shivcha if he's single.
But that whole concept doesn't ring true because the whole concept of the near set. They clearly realize that the guy's going to want to stay.
Yeah, well, it's true. So what they're doing, again, the Torah, we talked about this the other day also about the Amai Vriya, that the Torah has to deal with cases that arise, even if they're not ideal cases, right? All the time that, you know, let's say, sure, you got, right? That's not an ideal. We don't want people to have their sure hit somebody. The question the Torah deals with, what happens when this happens? So the Torah doesn't want a man to sell his daughter into slavery. And that's why they say, as you know, in any way possible, you have to be podeher. Or even in Eved Ivri, we're going to talk about Pidyon. And you know, we don't want this situation to happen, basically. But if it happens, this is what we have to do to deal with it. So therefore, if he does want to stay, despite the fact that he's got this wife, and you know, we want to discourage him, but eventually, if he does anyway, well, this is what you do.
But don't you think it would be less of a pull for him to stay if he didn't give him a shivcha to begin
with? Yes, no. So you have to really wonder why they're giving him a shivcha. And what the story is. And that relates to the source that we didn't learn together, but it was on Shabbos. It's a very strange source about how the Eved works, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. And they say, what kind of work does he do at night? And that's, oh, well, he has sex with Shivcha, so he can make Avadim for the, you know, for the master. Anyway, it's a difficult concept. I don't know enough about why really they're allowing him to marry the Shivcha. Anyway, complicated. But again, in a world where, you know, you can marry more than one wife, but bigamy was allowed, it's also viewed a little differently. Pilegish also is very hard to understand what the concept is. Okay, so now, Tana Rabbanan. Nimkar, right where the little gimel is. Nimkar b'maneh v'ishbiach v'amar al-matayim. What happens if the slave, while he's there, he goes up in value? So now, when he buys himself back, right, if he wants to buy himself out of slavery, according to what price? Now that he's worth more, let's say he got stronger. Let's say he went in when he was young and he wasn't so strong and he couldn't do so much. Now he's valued at a lot more. First of all, he's worked hard now. And okay, so now, minayin she'em mechashvin ela lefim maneh. How do we know that we still, when he buys himself out, it's only according to the smaller number, right? The original number that he came in with. Shene'emar mikesef miknato. Okay, we're going to jump around to Pesukim a lot now. We're starting now in the Pesuk. This one is in Vayikra Kaphein Nun Aleph. Okay, today I ordered them by Shmo Vayikra and Tvarim to make it a little easier on the page. So, Vayikra, what did we say? Kaphein Nun Aleph. Okay, so Im Od Rabot B'Shanim Lefien Yashiv Ge'ulato Mikesef Miknato. Right, if he still has years left and we're redeeming him. So, this is, by the way, when he's sold to a non-Jew. Okay, take note of that. This is in the context of Sukkim when he sold to a non-Jew. So we evaluate it based on the Kesef Miknato, what he was bought for, the original. Okay. What about the flip case? Nimkar b'matayim, what if he was sold in the beginning b'matayim and now he's older and he can't work as well or he got sick or anything? V'yichsif, and he now is valued less. V'amad al maneh, and now he's only worth 100. Minayin she'em hachashvin lo ela maneh, oh, now we still go by the lower amount. How do we know? Talmud lamar, kefi shanav. Okay, what do they say? According to his years, meaning, right, that's the next pasuk. If there's only a little bit left, we'll see what this means exactly. So what they're going to darshan is this means, look at the pasuk. The first one, rabot bishanim. Right? Then it goes by the kesef miknato, meaning if he got stronger throughout the years. And ma'at bishanim means if he got weaker. Then it goes kefi shanav. It goes by what he's worth now. Okay? According to his age, you could say, right? What his age is right now. So now they say, fine, we understand how that works. But that's Amiela Evet Hanim Karlove Kochavim. Ho'il v'nigar b'krovim yado ala tachtona. In this case, right, anyone is allowed to redeem him when we encourage redemption immediately, right? Because all these psukim say, you know, you have to try to redeem him because we don't want him living with non-Jews. And therefore, yado, yada evet is always ala tachtona, and that's exactly the way we passed in here, right? It always goes to the benefit of the evet. But nimkar li Yisrael minalan. What's going to be the answer? Talmud lomar, sachir, sachir, l'gzeira shava. Remember, we saw this gzeira shava before. Because it says sachir in Pasuk Lamed, of ki amuchachicha imach benim karlach, he gets sold to you. And it says in the Pasukim about the non-Jew, in Pasuk Nun Gimel, ki sachir shana b'shana yeimo. So they darshan this kavachomer, although we saw that not everyone darshan the kavachomer. But we say, what's true for here is true for them. Okay. Amar Abaye, hareni ki ben azai b'shuka tveria. Okay, he's like in a good mood. He says, I am like Ben-Azai in the Shuk of Tveria, meaning Ben-Azai would go out into the Shuk of Tveria and answer people's questions. He's saying, I am like him. Remember, Ben-Azai was a Tana, right? And he's talking many generations later. So I am like Ben-Azai, and anyone who wants to ask me a question, ask me a question. So Amar le'ahume Rabbana l'Abaye. One Talmid Chacham came over to Abaye and asked him, Michtehani cry ika l'midrashinu l'kula v'ika l'midrashinu l'chumra. You could darshan those psukim in ma'at b'shanim, in rabbe b'shanim. You can darshan them in both directions. So my chazit did darshinu l'kula. Okay? Why did you decide to go l'kula? You could have gone l'chumra and say it always goes by the higher amount. So now he says, nidrashinu l'chumra lo sal kadatach mida ka'aza rachmana l'gabei. Sorry, mida ake rachmana l'gabei. Says it doesn't appear that you should be darshaning in l'chumra. First of all, we're going to see later how you can darshan l'chumra, how you can darshan l'kula. We're going to show you. But now they're saying it doesn't seem like we should darshan it l'chumra because the Torah was mekel. Why? D'tanya ki tov lo imach. The Torah was mekel in general by avadim. It's showed that we have to go likrat the avadim. Here's a very nice braita. Ki tov lo imach. Right? What happened? The Eved wants to stay because it's good for him, right? How do we darshan this? Imcha b'ma'achav, imcha b'mishteh, shelo te'atal chalpan nekiya v'hu ochel pak kevar. Ata shote yayin yashan v'hu shote yayin chadash. Ata yashen agabe muchim v'hu yashen agabe ateven. Okay, so what do they say? You have to treat him, if you eat good bread, you have to give him good bread and not dark bread, okay, brown bread. If you eat old wine, right, you can't feed him the new wine. New wine is never as good. If you sleep on soft, you know, sheets and stuff, you can't put him on straw. Mikad amru, kol ha-kone eved ivri ke kone adon la'atzmo. Again, we're trying to discourage slavery. Anyone who buys an eved ivri is like buying someone, right, who's above him almost. But he has to take care of him. Ve'ema, but you might say, and that's why obviously we're always going to be mekel. Then they say, no, you could say, Ema, hani mila linyan achila v'shtia. We don't want to, right? We want him to be happy. But ha'le'inyan pidyon nachmir aleim, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Maybe when it comes to pidyon, we're going to be machmir on him. Why would that be? Now remember, why did this guy get sold into slavery? Well, now we're going to go through a whole drasha about he must have done something wrong. And as generally, why do you get sold? Because you stole, right? Or because you were poor. So now we're going to say like sachar va'onesh, okay? We're going to have a whole list of drashot on all these psukim. They're going to say there was like a chronology of what goes on here. Okay, so follow. I bolded the words to make it easier. I'm not going to, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to kind of read them through, but you can follow on the sheet a little bit. D'tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. He has this opinion. Rabbi Yossi Chanina Omer. Bo re'e kama kashe av kashel shvi'it. If you do any sort of, you get any hana'ah from Kedushat Shvi'it, look how, right, avak always means like a little bit, okay, like not even really major problems, but you do something small with, and mistreat shvi'it, Adam nosev and notem beperot shvi'it, lesof mocher mital talav. If someone sells perot shvi'it, that's really usher, right? Then in the end, he's going to have to sell his property. How do we get this? Because the Pesukim of Vayikra, Perakapay, are talking about Shemitah, and then it goes into Yovel, and it says, B'shnate Yovel toshuvu ishalachus ato, this Pesuk Yugimel, and then it immediately says, B'chitim kirum mimkar la'amitecha o kanomi anamitecha. So what does he say? You, right? When you sell prop, when you sell an item of yours, so he says, if you start dealing with perot shvi'it, you're going to need money and have to sell your property, you know? Your mitaltalim. Shneamar b'shnata yovel tashuvu ishalachuzato v'samech le. They're darshin the smichu psukim v'chitim kurum unkar la mitecha o kanomi yada mitecha. Devar neknemi yad liyad. So right, something that mitaltalim. That's what they're saying. That you can pass from hand to hand. Lo hirgish. Let's say he doesn't do tshuva after that, and as he doesn't realize he's done something wrong and do tshuva. Lisof mocher tzdotav. Shneamar. What's the next section? Jumping to pasuk kafe. Ki yamuch achicha u'machar me'achuzato, right? And then he has to sell from his land. Okay, if someone gets impoverished, he has to sell his land. Lo bat liyado ad shemocher beito. Okay, the next thing is going to happen, not just his land, but his house. Shne'amar ki imkor beit moshav ir choma. Okay, that's the next section, right? That's pasuk kaftet. You follow? So there's a progression here, and they're saying, what's the progression? The progression is, he doesn't do tshuva, then he continually doesn't do tshuva. He doesn't see the signs, right? That's really what they're saying. Maishna hatam. So now they just want to ask a question on this brayta. Maishna hatam da'amar lo hirgish. U'maishna hatam da'amar lo bat liyado. Why does it change the lashon? The first one was lo hirgish. He didn't feel that he did anything wrong. And the next one is lo bat liyado. He didn't even like notice it. He didn't do anything about it. So they say kid Rav Huna. Da'am Rav Huna. Kevan sha'avar adam avera vishinaba hutralo. Once someone does an avera and does it a second time, it becomes mutar to him. So we've seen this before, actually. So the Gemara says, "Hutrado sakadatach." What you mean? It becomes mutar. That doesn't make any sense. Ela naaseit lo keheter. He turns it into something mutar for him. He thinks it's mutar. He doesn't even realize anymore that he's done something wrong. That's the progression. So that's the progression from lo hirgish to lo bat liyado. And as lo bat liyado means he doesn't do anything about it. So at that point, it already became a heter to him. He thinks it's allowed. Okay, now what happens if he continually lo bat liyado, ad shemocher et bito, what's the next thing that's going to happen? You're going to sell your daughter. Okay, we have this nice progression, right? Sell your...
At least she comes later than
right, your metaltalim. Well, just wait till the next one, okay? The metaltalim, then his field, then his house, then his daughter. Shneamar kim kor ish et bito la'ama. Now pay attention. This is not the next section there. Where does it say kim kor ish et bito la'ama? In Shmot, okay? So now the Gemara is going to relate to that. Ba'af agav debito luktiva b'hayin yana. Now, we were doing a progression of all the psukim in Vayikra. Even though she's not mentioned there. Ha kamash malan nizmin inish barte v'lo nizit beribta. What's the next thing? The next thing is he's going to start borrowing money and for interest. Okay, so now, what are they going to say? Why do we know that this would come before that? Because a person would prefer to sell his daughter than to go borrow money on interest, take out a loan. Okay, thankfully this has changed in our days. People generally would rather take out a loan than this, but now we're going to see why. Why would a person generally do this? They're not saying it's recommended. They're just saying that this is what the
natural
thing for someone to do. My taima, barte migra avinafka, v'hai musva va'azla. In other words, it's what happens. The daughter, you sell her, and then slowly she's going to pay her back her loan, right? And in the end, you're not going to have to add anything. It slowly gets decreased over time. What happens with a loan on interest? It increases all the time. So therefore, that would be, you know, something you prefer not to do. Lo bat li yado ad shelo beberi beach. And Amar, here we go to the next section. Okay, ki amu chachicho matei yado imach vatachta bo yorev toshav chayimach, pasuk lamavav, al tikach mito neshech vitarbit. Okay, so that's what they say. V'chi amu chachicho matei yado imach, v'samich le, and the next thing is, al tikach mito neshech vitarbit. So therefore they say, halva'a beribit comes up in that context, we're going to darshan there, the next thing he would have to do is borrow beribit on interest. Lo bat liyado ad shemocher et atzmo shenemar v'chi amu chachicha, again the progression labetet now binim karlach. Okay, and then what's the next thing? Lo lecha ela leger, right? Binim kar, the next one is he gets sold to a ger shenemar leger v'lo ger tzedek ela leger toshav, not a ger who's a convert but a ger toshav, because it says binim kar leger toshav. What's a ger toshav? It's a non-Jew who keeps the sheva mitzvot b'nei noach. Shneemar ger toshav, and then mishpacha ger. What's the next progression? Ze oved kochavim. You get sold to a mamish non-Jew who's not keeping sheva mitzvot b'nei noach. And then kashuomer leeker. There it says leeker mishpacha ger. So mishpacha ger, we just mean a non-Jew. What's leeker? Zanim karla v'dak kochavim atzma. That's someone who gets sold to mamish, like work in the mikdash of the oved kochavim. That's like the absolute, absolute worst, okay? So if you haven't done tshuva, you're going to end up, that's where you're going to end up in the end. Okay. Amar Leh, so now why did we bring this whole thing? This was all to say, right, what did we say? We're mekel in the pidyon of an eved. So now they're saying, why would we mekel in the pidyon of an eved? So we said, well, we'll see. You have to feed him nicely, you have to treat him nicely, but then they say, wait, that's when it comes to when he's living with you. But in terms of the pidyon, maybe we should be machmir, because Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda sees this as a punishment. So why should we help this guy who got himself into this punishment for doing something bad? Why should we help him get out of it? So now they say, Amar leh hatam ha'ahadre kra, detani debe Rabbi Yishmael, as the pasuk helps him. What does it mean? Ho'il v'halach zeh v'nasa komer l'avadah kohavim. Okay, since the Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael says like this, you might have thought that even if he becomes a komer to an avodah kochavim, ema litche even acharan ofel, we should, right, this is, what does this really mean? I was thinking of a phrase that we would use, throw in the towel, right? In other words, put the even, let the even stay fallen, okay? Or, you know, maybe not throw in the towel, but anyway, it's like, push off the even that's fallen. In other words, this guy's fallen off the deep end, we're going to just ignore him. Talmud Lomar, what does it say in the Pasuk? Okay, this is in Pasuk, Memchet of Ayikra, okay? After it says he gets sold to a ger, what does it say? Acharei nimkar geula tielo echa me'achiv yigalenu. You have to still redeem this guy, okay? As bad as he possibly gets, you have to redeem him. Ve'ema geula tielo ki hechi delo litma ben of de kochavim. But maybe it just means we have to redeem him so he doesn't end up staying among these non-Jews, become non-Jewish. But in terms of pidyon, we still should be machmir that he has to pay a higher fee, okay? Because he did something wrong. So now we basically, after we did this whole thing, we basically reject this whole, we say, this was all to say that Abaye says we're mekel in the pidyon. We say we can't learn it from here. So therefore, they're going to learn it from somewhere else. I'm Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Trei Krai Ktive. There's two psukim. Ktiv, im od rabot b'shanim, uktiv v'im me'at nishar b'shanim. He's going to darshan those psukim. What does he say? In other words, the whole thing he said was, we're going to be mekel, right, on the eved. But now we say, it doesn't mean we're going to be mekel. It comes mamash from a drasha in the psukim. Okay, what does it say? How do we understand this rabot b'shanim, me'at b'shanim? What do these psukim mean? V'chi yeshanim rabot v'yeshanim muatot. Okay, there's two ways to read this. I'll explain one way. Are there years that have more days in it and years that have less days in it, right? What does that mean? Some people say it means, could he possibly work more or less years? It's always six. Okay, but either which way you understand it, what does this mean, rabot b'shanim, me'at b'shanim? Ela, it must mean, nitrabet kaspo mikesef miknato. Right? If his value was more than kesef miknato, right? If im nitrabek kaspo, then mi kesef miknato. Nitma'e kaspo, it must be talking about rabot b'shanim, means his value, right? Not that the years got greater, but he got greater. So if he got greater, right, he went up, this is that way we explained it from the beginning. Then it's going to go mikasav miknato, the way it was originally, the lower price. And im nitma et kaspo, then kafi shanav. So now they're going to say, ve'em hachi kamar. Maybe we should say it like this. Maybe that's not what it means. Im ra'opashani ma'apashani. Maybe it means this. Maybe ma'apashani means, rabopashani means if there's a lot of years left or there's fewer years left. Remember, there were 6 years. So if he's, forget three, but let's say it's four or two. Maybe that's what it means. Rabopashani if there's four. Then it goes by the original date. Almost like Shabbat, right? It goes by what day of the week you're up to. Wednesday is already considered toward the future, right? And Tuesday is still considered connected to the previous Shabbat. So if it's 4 years still left, well, then we're going to go by the earlier date, what you were worth originally. If it's 2 years left, then we're going to go by the later date. That's what they're going to suggest now. Ve'ema hachi kamar. Hecha da'avid shrei. He worked two, pashle arba, and there's still four. Neitiv lei arba mikesev miknato. We're going to evaluate the four according to the original price. And avid dalid upashul utarte, the flip, neitiv tarte kafi shanav. We'll do tarte according to what's shanav, how many years are left. Okay, and based on what the value of he is in those future years. They say, no, that doesn't work with the pasuk. Why? Im ken nichtov kra. Im od rabot shanim. Im ma'at nishar shanim. If there's just shanim left, right? Or there's many shanim. My bishanim, but it doesn't say shanim. It says bishanim. So they say bishanim means nitrabek kaspo bishanim, right? Bishanim sounds like over the course of time, right? Something changed over the course of time. Mikesav miknato. Nitma'e kaspo bishanim kepishanav, like we said before. Okay, so they basically tried to say maybe that's not the shot of the, you know, the way you darted. They say, no, it is. I'm Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef says, so this was all our source for how do we get it, right? This is what Abai was bringing the source. I'm Rav Yosef. Darshina Rav Nachman Lahane Krai Kesinai. He darted these psukim very well, like as if they were passed down at Sinai. Okay, this is a good drasha. Okay. Bamina Rav Huna Bar Chinina Merav Sheshet. Evid Ivri Hanim Karle Oved Kochavim Nigal Lachatzaim O Eno Nigal Lachatzaim. In Evid Ivri, they get sold to an Oved Kochavim. Can you buy out half? Like, start buying, let's say you have money for half. Right, installments. Can you pay in installments? O Eno Nigal Lachatzaim. So what do they say? Gu'ulato. Gu'ulato Mistechuza. We can learn the word Gu'ulato appears here, and the Gu'ulato appears in Stechuza. Okay, and therefore we can learn it from stechuza. What's stechuza? There's different kinds of property people have. If you have a stechuza that came to you from, you know, all the way dating back to your shobin, and this was your family's property, that property goes back to you at Yovel, even if you sell it. Whereas there's other types of property that you sell that doesn't necessarily go back to you in Yovel. You have a year to redeem it, and if you don't redeem it in the year, then you it doesn't go back to you at Yovel. And there's all different halachot. So now they're going to say, we can learn from stechuza. Ma stechuza eino nigal lachatzaim. Af hainami eino nigal lachatzaim. Now there's one thing about a stechuza. If you're makdish, the stechuza, and you don't redeem it, then at Yovel, it goes to the kohanim. Okay? It belongs to them. In other words, if you redeem it, if you're makdish it, then you can redeem it. But if you, I believe I have this correct. I have to double check. But if you, like if you have hekdesh and you don't, it's, you have a potential to redeem it if it's stechuza, but if you don't redeem it and the yovel comes, then it goes to the kohanim. Okay, that land never goes back to you after that. But you can't redeem it b'chatzayim. You can't pay part. It doesn't mean anything. O dilma lekula amrinan lechumra lo amrinan. Or do we say we only learn from stechuza lekula and not lechumra? To say that you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So Amarle, you know, let's stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. I see we're over. We'll start up with this tomorrow.